The Fan on Demand.
Primetime Sports. I'll remember to turn the button on. Don't worry. Thursday, July 24th. Jeff Blair sitting in for Bob McCowan. Dave Perkins. No fixed addresses left. Ken Reed of Sportsnet joins me. It's a stapler.
Yeah, it's my stapler.
I didn't even know they made these things anymore.
You don't watch Office Space?
No.
Remember the guy with the stapler? It's my stapler.
If I didn't watch it, how would I remember it?
It's a classic bit. It's no one's name on that stapler?
No, it's, I just didn't know they made these things.
Yeah, they still use staples.
Okay.
The whole franchise named Staples, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a store. But I just didn't know that that people still, I thought there was an app for that.
Online staplers or something like that. No, they still make staplers. I still use them from time to time.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know they still use them in heads. I saw Michael Bradley get his head stapled together.
You know what else they still use in the world?
I don't want to know.
Bear traps.
Bear traps.
I want an update on Brunt's bear. We did 2 hours of radio yesterday, and the only thing I got out of it was Stephen Brunt needs to trap a bear in his backyard in rural western Newfoundland.
I got up this morning. I checked email, or I should say I checked Twitter and email. I had two emails from people who wanted to know about Brunt's bear. Could I please email Brunt and ask him if he caught the bear?
Mm-hmm.
And same thing at Twitter. So I emailed Brunt at 9:02 a.m. I just said, bear?
10:30 in Newfoundland.
Response was not yet.
Wow. So he probably didn't catch it today then.
I don't think he would. I don't think the bear would come out in the daytime. Now, we're not going to be able to get a hold of Brunt, are we? Because Brunt's fishing. He's either fishing or at the Legion or writing a book or something stupid.
Well, it's 6:32 in Newfoundland, so he could very well be at the Legion now. I just texted him, but
okay,
we've heard he's fishing. So
Anyhow, but Brunt will get back to us, and as soon as we find out, we'll let you know.
And like any good drama, this should kind of hopefully carry on for at least a week or two, because if he caught the bear immediately,
it would be kind of disappointing, and people would wonder, I mean, what would you do for follow up?
Yeah, and if you're listening out there and you wonder how do you trap a bear, it's a giant cage, turkey fat,
white bread, and
pancakes,
maple syrup.
That's it. How Canadian? You even use maple syrup to trap the giant black bear.
It's tremendous. Dave Perkins asked me if I've had a breakfast like that before, if I've ever had that for breakfast.
Mm.
I said no.
Maple syrup part.
So we've got a lot to talk about today,
so
I think.
Are you? Would you be pumped up to trade Marcus Stroman and Alex Sanchez right now?
No.
Aaron Sanchez? I always think of Alex Sanchez, the old Blue Jays.
I have been remarkably consistent in this. I would trade Aaron Sanchez in the right deal for somebody who will help me this year and next year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade Marcus Stroman for anything.
Here's a good question.
And I haven't changed as a result of two innings.
What do you think of the television post-game on-field interview?
The one today?
No,
or
in general?
I think it's a waste of time for the most part.
Didn't you think the one last night with Aaron Sanchez was fantastic? Did you see it? It was just, you caught a guy and it was him. You really saw him. You didn't see cliches. You just saw a kid that just said, oh man, I just went out and pitched two innings of shutout ball.
Well, there are times when it's great, and and I'm not saying about how we do it or how Rash does it or how Bear. I'm just saying in general, I don't like the biggest waste of time in sports television is interviewing the coach at halftime in the NFL. God has never created a football coach who says anything interesting at the best of time. And they're sure not going to say anything interesting at halftime.
Why would they?
Well, yeah.
You're in the zone.
Well, it's whatever zone it is. I mean, and that's why everybody got all bent out of shape with, Aaron Andrews replacing Pam Oliver, as if Pam Oliver was Edward R. Murrow or something like that. Jesus God, this is a woman who's made, she made a career out of asking, so, Coach, what adjustments are you going to make in the second half for 15 years? I mean, no disrespect, but we're not talking about, somebody's going to get a Pulitzer Prize here.
So, right, most of the time you're not going to get gold out of players, last coaches, and you can't blame them. But to me, you're going to get some gold. And last night, it was just one of those moments where you saw the true emotion and a guy's true feelings came out. And Sanchez, he was talking to Barry Davis, and he was just so pumped, and you could just see it. It was 2 minutes of joy instead of 2 minutes. Well, we got another one tomorrow, and we got to just keep plowing forward. And I really enjoyed it. And for the most part, yeah, sometimes they don't mean much, but last night's meant a lot. As you're chuckling, do you have a bear update?
No, but I wish I could show this. Somebody on Twitter, I got to find out who it is. His Twitter handle's Maple Leafs 22. It's Dave Archbell. Just sent this along. I mean, it's a picture of Ted Nugent. Did you say you have a bear problem? I don't know why it just struck me as funny. I'm gonna retweet it to people. It just struck me as funny.
The Nuge and Stephen Brunt. Now that would be a rural hunting adventure.
I'll tell you what. I guarantee if they both had guns, only one of them's coming out.
I guarantee at least one of them has a gun.
Yeah,
and it's not Brunt,
but only one of them's coming out.
Yeah, well,
I guarantee you that. So just to give you an update as we wait for Brent's update, we're going to be joined by Jim Pack, who is the head coach of the South Korean men's national hockey team. Of course, the 2018 Olympics will be in Pyeongchang, and with the new IIHF rules, the host country is not guaranteed a spot in the tournament. Jim has also spent, he was a terrific player. He spent the past nine seasons with the Grand Rapids Griffins, the Detroit Red Wings affiliate, AHL affiliate. So, they are, frankly, one of the model organizations in hockey. So we'll talk to Jim about the challenges facing him. We'll get his take on whether or not he thinks NHL players are going to be in the Olympics, because I don't think they are. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated will join us at 5:40. Gotta love the NFL. You get suspended 2 games for assaulting your fiance in an elevator, and but you can get suspended for more games for firing up a joint.
Four games for smoking a joint.
4 games for smoking a joint, 2 games for beating the hell out of your fiancé. That's the world of the NFL, which is one of the reasons the United States is going to hell in a handbasket. And John Amici will join us at 6 o'clock. He's a former NBA center. And the Commonwealth Games are on.
They are?
Yep.
Heard we John won Amici a medal today.
Apparently we did.
Good. It's better to win than lose.
It is indeed better to win than lose. And if you're sitting there laughing at the Commonwealth Games, look at it this way. If the Commonwealth Games are a B-list event, the games that you are going to be paying for next year, the Pan Am Games, are about an F event.
But an A-list event in terms of causing traffic chaos in the summer of 2014.
Yes.
How has your drive been in from Hamilton thanks to the Pan Am Games of 2015?
It'll be bad.
But now, how is it right now?
Oh, and right now it's okay.
Even with the Gardner down to 2 lanes each way?
I got a secret.
Okay, don't tell it. You're on the radio.
I'm not. But there's a way to determine when you can get a window to drive in going eastbound on the Gardner, and it has to do with the border crossing. There's a way, just telling you, you can get a window. You have to know somebody who knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a window there.
Things that are beyond me and my control.
Anyhow.
Shouldn't you be all psyched up because of the Blue Jays today and that 8-0 win?
No, I'm going to see Olympiakos and AC Milan tonight. I'm psyched up about that. Well, I know. Look, I was a little annoyed. I have to admit, and I said this at 4 o'clock, and I probably shouldn't do this because this is how I'm making a living now. I mean, not doing this show, but on the radio. I went out to the ballpark to watch the game today, and I leave in the fourth inning. Mm-hmm. Larry Milson looks at me and goes, "You're leaving a no hitter," and I thought, "Geez, I am. I'm leaving a no-hitter." Mm-hmm. And then you get that moment where you go, all right, if I stick around for another inning, maybe he loses the no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, yeah, but if you stick around for another inning and he doesn't lose the no-hitter, you still got to factor in traffic. So I just said, the hell with it.
You have to. That's what the job does. The job takes the fun right out of it. Like, you should have sat there and tried to witness a no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of them, but still, it would have been cool to see Marcus Stroman pitching. I'm becoming a big Marcus Stroman fan for a variety of reasons. Just the way he is on the mound, his approach. I just like watching him pitch. He reminds me a little bit of Pedro Martinez when he sort of made the transition to starter. Just he's kind of got the hip swivel thing when he throws, and he's got a little bit of English on it at the end of the.
He's got some zing on it. I like the way he chews his gum. It reminds me of an encounter I had with a lady in an airport recently.
Can you tell us a story? Because it hasn't been told in this station for at least, an hour and 10 minutes?
No, it's fine. The lady didn't like the way I chewed my gum in a lineup. So apparently the gum police don't like Marcus Stroman and I.
Is this recent that it happened?
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, so this is not like this. I thought this may have been, you know, part of the cannery legend.
This was just
Well, then you can tell us if it's only a couple of weeks ago. Tell us. I mean, because we're waiting for Jim Pack.
Okay, hopefully this lady's listening. So I went home to Nova Scotia and I'm...
You're not going to use the word you used to describe her, though.
I said unruly lady. So I went home to Nova Scotia, so I meet my mom and my stepdad, and I drop my little
guy off. Sorry, but that's four syllables more than the word you used to describe her in the room back there.
I drop my little guy off, and I sit in the lineup for the rental car company, and there's about six, seven people in line. It's about a 10-minute wait, so whatever. I'm happy to be home. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sitting there waiting for, you know, the line to move or whatever. I'm in no rush. And about 5 minutes in, and I'm chewing gum. I have a piece, I think, you know, XL or something in my mouth. I'm not chewing Hubba Bubba or Big League Chew or Bubblicious or anything too big.
That's a problem right there.
And anyway, about 5 minutes in, the lady turns around and she says, "Is your gum good?" And I thought, yeah. And I was reaching into my pocket to give her a piece because I thought she wanted a piece. I said, yeah. She says, "Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying your gum because we are not enjoying listening to you chew it." And she looks around at the rest of the people in line. The rest of the people are kind of looking at her. And I thought, wow, what I could say to you right now. But I thought, you know what? I don't need to do anything too crazy, you know. So I just said, "I'll chew my gum whatever way I want, lady." And she goes, "Well, you keep chewing it and we'll keep enjoying it." And I just said, "Don't make me a part of your bad day." To which she responds, "I wasn't having a bad day until I met you." And she turns around. So at that point, I moved a little closer to her, and then I just started snap, snap the gum. So I did that for about 20 seconds. And then eventually the lady moved on to the counter, and the girl behind me in line said, "What was that all about?" I said, "I don't really know." I said, "Did I do anything?" She says, "No, I didn't even hear you chewing your gum. I didn't hear anything like that." And I go, "Should I have gone totally overboard?" And she said, "Oh, I totally would have gone overboard.
I would have put the whole pack in and blown a bubble right in her face.
I would have lost it on her, but I thought, I am the better man, and I shan't go there." And then when the lady walked away from the counter, I snapped my gum again. And then I got up to the counter, and the rent-a-car people kind of went, "What was that all about with that lady?" And I said, "I don't know." And then we all just kind of laughed. So that's the story. So it was one of those good tests, because maybe old me would have gone crazy and raged and freaked out, but I just thought, you know what? I don't need some dude going, "Oh, man, I think it was the guy from Sportsnet in line at a rental car company, and he looked like the ultimate warrior freaking out at a lady because of the way he was chewing his gum." So I just thought, you know what? Don't make me a part of your bad day. So on you go. So the gum chewing police,
there you go.
They are out there. So Marcus Stroman, be warned. You and I are, if we encounter the gum chewing lady police, you know, she probably won't like us.
Marcus does. He does work his gum over.
Hey, you know what? It's working for him, though.
Yeah.
Right? So chew that gum, whatever works for you, one hitter through seven.
And yeah. I have to admit, I am a big fan of bubble gum. And if you're chewing bubble gum, you should be able to chew as loud as you want and blow bubbles as loud as you want.
What would you have done if you were in my shoes?
Oh, I told you what I would have done. I would have taken out the gum and stuck it in the back of her hair. Or, failing that, I'd put the whole pack in my mouth and really work it over, get a big-ass bubble going, take it out, put it in the top of her head. But I certainly, you know, if you're gonna go nuclear on me when I'm in a lineup, and rental car lineups are the worst anyhow, because you just got off a flight, you feel like a piece of you know what.
I didn't care though. I
probably
was just happy
to
be home.
The washroom, you know, you're thinking, well, I go to the rental car thing right away before the bags get down. I can get rid of everything. Yeah.
But I was in a good mood. She was in a bad mood, probably. But you know what the beauty part is? On the flight back here, she was on the plane. She was on the same flight back.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what you should have done?
Oh, what?
Oh, you should have asked the person next to change a seat.
Oh, and sat beside her? No. That was fine. But yeah, I hope she's having a better day today. So she's probably just somebody having a bad day.
That's true.
That's how I look at it. I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, so I didn't want to get into a verbal confrontation about gum chewing. I think there's better things to argue about. Right, like U.S. politics I don't know, other things.
By the way, Matt Harvey, a friend of the show, says, "Always people who kill the fun in life, eh? Chew gum as loud as you want, guys."
That's right.
Matt's got it figured out.
Yep. Like I say, dress how you want, chew gum the way you want.
Exactly.
Give her. Except I don't like people that crunch their popcorn at movies. And then don't text at movies. You know, loud popcorn eaters in the theater?
How the hell else do you eat popcorn?
I don't know. That's the challenge, though. You see?
You gotta crunch it.
But then, okay, so you can crunch your popcorn, but don't text during the movie. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you should be required to hand over your electronic device at the movies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But popcorn totally. Crunching is totally okay.
Okay. That's acceptable?
Yeah.
So no. I was startled because my initial...
Slurping soft drinks is the worst. You want to go, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
If you want, shut it down for a bit. The ice will melt. There'll be something there and you can drink it, but there's nothing left. Like what don't you understand about it?
Yeah, I do that with Slurpees. When I get to the end, I'm just hoping that there's a little something left down there. But there never is. But
anyhow.
I thought I was a very nice young man because when she said, "Is your gum good?" my first reaction was, yeah, and I was going to give her a piece. I thought she wanted a piece. I didn't think she wanted to fight me over my gum chewing habits.
Okay. I think, you know, like I said, I would have gone a little nuclear on her. But that's just me.
You and I are different that way.
We are. We have different gum etiquette. So you didn't go out to the ball. You weren't at the ball game last night, were you? No, you
no,
were working.
I had to work last to work. Night. Today I went golf this morning and I...
What a waste of time.
No, it's not a waste of time.
Day was so nice and you went golfing.
You and I are the opposite because I am to soccer what you are to golf. See, I would see you going to the soccer game tonight as a waste of time. To watch two teams coming over here just to rake in your cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then take off. That, to me, is a waste of time. I went out. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining.
Did you have to use a golf cart?
No, I walk.
You walked?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen these calves?
Okay, then I have a little more respect for you.
I walk.
I think, you know, using golf carts is just insane.
Look at those.
Yeah. You're not doing anything when you're golfing anyhow. The least you can do is walk around carrying your club.
Yeah. I have a push cart.
Oh, you have a... Well, that's still okay.
Because the club I golf at, Scarborough Golf and Country Club, shout out. It's very hilly and it's a tough walk. So I took the clubs. It was a beautiful day. Greens are nice. The fairways are beautiful. I'm in the sun. I got my SPF 8009 on because of my skin condition. It was beautiful. And see, I would rather do that and you would rather play soccer. So we would socially probably never...
No,
see one another. No. Do golf people send you tweets
all
shooting
the time.
Off to you?
All the time.
Okay.
And I just tell them that I think golf is the reason. When bad stuff happens in the world, inevitably it gets back to golf. Because you know that somebody's hatched the plot at a golf course. You mean the entire economic meltdown a couple of years ago, guarantee you 90% of it was a result of a couple of guys sitting in a golf course saying, you know what we can do? We can do this.
Who are the teams you're seeing play soccer tonight?
Olympiacos and AC Milan.
I bet you that Olympiacos and AC Milan, their presidents got together on a golf course and they said, I bet you we can go to Toronto. We can insert our good players for half of the game and people will spend top cash to see it. That meeting happened on a golf course.
Jim Pack is the South Korean men's national hockey team coach. He joins us so we can finally turn the discussion away from golf. Jim, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Tell me how this came about, getting named coach of the team. And I understand that this, you know, for 2018, that the Korean team will have to qualify to get into the tournament.
Yes.
So nice job.
right now, we're in the process of working with the IIHF and getting the qualifications, meeting their standards to be qualified for the Olympics. So they're working hard with the Korean Hockey Association, with our federation, to allow us to participate in the 2018 Olympics.
Now, Jim, it's common when a country hosts an Olympics that a ton of money gets poured into sports programs in the country. And it's not just in Canada. I mean, that's just the way it's done during the Olympics. Is Korea taking the same approach with hockey? I've got to think that funding won't be an issue, is it?
No, not right now. You know, they're helping us out as much as they can. We put proposals together, a budget plan, and the government is real excited for our hockey team. For hockey in Korea, for developing that and towards the Olympics. So the government is right behind us and very supportive.
Jim, I know you were born in South Korea, but can you just tell us your story of it? You came over to Canada, going to an NHL career, and what your connection's been to South Korea over the years in terms of hockey?
Well, I was born in Seoul. My family, we immigrated to Canada, so I was raised in Canada. And as you know, everyone plays hockey in Canada, so that's how I picked up the sport. And my brother, older brother, started, so you always want to do what your older brother does. And so I got involved in hockey. And then, you know, it's a storybook ending, actually. So from there, and playing professional, getting drafted and playing professional hockey, winning Stanley Cups, so... it's been a fantastic playing career. This is adding chapters to the book. I think this is a great opportunity, a great experience. As I was playing hockey, I've always wanted to go back to Korea and help them develop their program. And we've been doing that. I've been doing that since 82 was the first time I've been over. And then as the years go on, last time I was over there was 2002, though. But it's been a while since I've been back, and I'm real excited to get back there and help develop the program.
Where do you get your players from over there? What's the infrastructure? Are there a lot of guys who play locally, or is it guys that maybe are from, say, playing in Canada with eligibility to play for South Korea?
Well, right now there's a player from Canada, Brock Radinsky, who got his Korean passport, blonde hair and blue eyes, playing for the national team. But the majority of the players are Korean-born players. They come through the system, play university hockey. A lot of it's through the schooling, so that's where they come from. They have three professional teams playing in the Asian League right now. Mm-hmm. So. With 11 million people in Seoul, there's 2,000 registered hockey players. Basically, the majority of that percentage is young kids. So the grassroots part of it, the developing, is pretty good. There's lots of kids with interest. Hopefully we can develop those kids. We just have to find them as they get older, different places to play. That I think that's going to be a key.
Jim, you coach with the Grand Rapids Griffins as well, you know, and I would think you might find it frustrating at times, would you not? Because you go from dealing with guys who are, well, NHL caliber players, and frankly, given the caliber of players that Grand Rapids sent to the Detroit Red Wings this past, you're pretty good players on the face of it, and then you're dealing with, you know, really a country that is in the real initial stages of hockey. Is it kind of hard to, you know? You're dealing with really advanced guys in one group, and you're dealing with a relatively new sport in that country in the other. Is it hard to sort of, you know, to wear a couple of hats at the same time?
Well, for sure. And that's going to be the challenge, is change their culture, change the mentality of the players, make them accountable, and then raise the standard of play. That's going to be the challenge, and for sure. And of course, you have your challenges here too, on this end of things. But I think the challenge will be more so in Korea, where you have to change their whole philosophy, their whole outlook towards the ice hockey and the systems and what ice hockey is all about. The way I see it, anyway. So to change them from what they know now to what I want to teach them, it's going to be a big transformation for them.
Jim, what do they know? What level would you compare, say, the South Korean national team to something over here? What level of hockey would you compare it to?
Well, right now they're in Division One, Group B. They got relegated back down to the Group B. They were in Group A. World ranking is 22nd. And but I haven't seen them enough to tell you exactly what it's equivalent to the East Coast, the American Hockey League. I know for sure that it's not the NHL. Mm-hmm. That's the top 16 in the world. That's like NHL hockey players, NHL. But, mm-hmm. You know, we'll have to see. I know there's a lot of talented hockey players. I think if they, if I put in a foundation system package there, hopefully they'll improve, and that's my hope. But you know, my goal right now is to change the culture a little bit, teach the process, and try to get better every day. That's my main goal.
Jim Pack joins us on Primetime Sports. He is the head coach of the South Korean's men national team. He's also the program national team program director, and of course he's a coach with the Grand Rapids Griffins and a two-time Stanley Cup champion. How concerned are you about the hockey in South Korea at the Olympics? We don't know yet if the NHL players are going to be over there. And if that's the case, and for whatever reason, the host country doesn't qualify, is there a chance that the Olympic hockey competition could really, really suffer a blow, in, not just in quality, but also in prestige?
Well, I think if the level drops, it'll be an equal playing field. And hockey is a great sport. And if that happens, you know, it's always exciting to see the NHL players go over there and see that brand of hockey. But if they're not allowed to come over, if they opt not to come over and play, but the playing field would be the same. And I think it'll be excellent hockey. It's a great sport. For me, any level is exciting to watch this fabulous game.
Jim, you mentioned you came to Canada when you were very young. What did getting this job, getting this gig with South Korean hockey, what did it mean to your family?
You know, they were really proud. And my father passed a couple years back, and you know, it's been his goal to see his son, you know, coach the national team. So for my family, they're real excited and happy for me that I'm going back to my motherland to help them develop their hockey and hopefully participate in the Olympics at a world stage. And I think that's a great feeling to have. My family, my wife and my kids are real supportive. They're so excited for me. My kids are on the internet trying to learn Korean now. So, you know, it's been fantastic so far. I don't know if anything, all of this is sunk in.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they're real excited and very supportive. And, you know, it's they're real proud.
So your dad and you'd talked about this over the years. He'd spoken to you about, hey, man, it'd be pretty cool to bring this game back home. Was that a conversation that you guys had over the years?
Oh, absolutely. If, you know, when I was playing, it was playing for the national team. And when I was coaching, it was coaching the national team. So there, we always had that national pride to go back and be a part of that. And it's come true for the most part here. But it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's a great opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. I'm real excited. I'm real looking forward to getting over there and getting started and hitting the ground running.
Well, Jim, it would be great to see you walk into that the arena or stadium, wherever they have the
That'd
opening
so cool,
ceremonies.
Yeah.
That would have to be the coolest feeling, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, wear your, you know, the Korean flag on your chest and walk into that stadium with world-class players, world-class athletes, and with all the people in Korea, especially being held in Korea. I can't even imagine that feeling. I get goosebumps thinking about it right now. So it's exciting, and hopefully that'll come to fruition there.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there, Jim, and thanks so much for doing this, and really best of luck.
I appreciate the call. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, take congrats care. On the gig. That's a great story.
That is a great story. Jim Pack is the head coach of the South Korean men's national team. And is also national team program director. And think about that. Seoul has a population of 11 million. There's 2,000 registered players. And South Korea went, I'm just looking at the story here, went 0-5 with a minus 20 goal differential in the 2014 World Championships in a low tier of the World Championships and were relegated even lower. But, you know, it's like anything else. When you host an Olympics,
yep,
you pour a lot of money into your programs. And I think whether or not South Korea qualifies for the Olympics, I've got to think that the sport of hockey will profit from it, whether it's, you know, increased facilities. I think it'd have to be increased facilities. You'd have to have more rinks for some of the, you know, the early round games and certainly a higher level of visibility. My concern is that I don't think NHL players are going to be over there. I think the NHL is going to have its own World Cup by then. And boy, I'd really hate, you know, with all due respect to Jim, as much as he said the level of competition would be evened out, I'd really hate to see an inferior product over there.
Olympic hockey is Olympic hockey, though. I mean, when it was their national program, I thought it was there's still a certain amount of pride in it. And South Korea, let's face it, they're going to be sending their best. Mm-hmm. Like, their best are going to try to make it. I still think there will be, the NHL will make it, will be there, because the players, they want to play in the Olympics. You can have your World Cup of hockey, you can drum it up, but ultimately the players want to play, and that is such a huge part of what they want.
You know what? If you put the World Cup together properly and you turn it into a money-making thing, I don't know. You know, the other thing, too, we should have asked Jim. If I'm not mistaken, Ryan or Matt, maybe you know this, are the Koreans not building NHL? Are the rinks not going to be built to NHL-sized specs? Ryan? The ice surface? Are they going to be NHL-sized specs in Korea or international? I can't remember.
You know what? I should have asked Jim, since he's been an assistant coach with the Grand Rapids Griffins. I should have asked him about Pictou, Nova Scotia's Joey McDonald, who's Grand Rapids' all-time winningest goaltender. Joey's a fine goalie, good kid from back home. And you blank stare.
Is he any relation to Fat Jerry?
No, he doesn't know. No, he's Timmy and Richie's brother, though.
Oh, okay.
Leonard's kid.
Fat Jerry was the guy who was getting beaten up with the fishing rod, right?
That's what the story says. Yeah, okay. Many moons ago.
Okay, all right. I wanted to make sure. I'm really, between Brent and his bear and you and the fishing rod assault on the pier.
Things happen.
What body of water is that, by the way, in Pictou?
It's the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh.
Northumberland Strait. Okay. Come on down, man. We have the warmest waters north of the Carolinas in Pictou.
Okay, Coast. I didn't know that. I figured
Now you got me going on the Pictou thing, and I'm just going to go.
No, you can't go, because we've got to take a break. You can't go about Pictou, Nova Scotia. No, Richard Deitch, one of our favorites, is going to join us. Gotta love the NFL. Beat the hell out of your fiance, you get a 2-game suspension. Spark up, you get a 4-game suspension. What the hell's wrong with that?
We're going to try and find out.
Absolutely. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated will join us when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Oh, man, you are so dead, Marchese. You are so dead.
What did he say to you? What did one of the producers say to you?
That I stain in the middle of my shirt.
You're on the radio. No one can see you.
That's true.
Except for the simulcast on Sportsnet 360.
I did this this thing with Wilner last week on TV. And, of course, Wilner screwed it up. We had to do it like 1,000 times because Wilner was in New York.
The double ender. I saw that.
Yeah, he screwed it up. So anyhow, the first time he screwed it up, and they said, oh, we're going to do it again. I dropped a favorite Blair word.
And a swear word?
Pretty much.
You can't
and
do that on
Hugh,
TV.
Hugh Burrell was the host. And without batting an eyelash, he looks at me and goes, we're on live. And for a minute.
Oh, man. He had you.
He did. Because for a minute I thought, and he had this dead serious look. He said, anyhow, turns out we weren't.
Open mic.
Richard Deitch is on live, and Richard Deitch joins us on Primetime Sports. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. You guys?
Oh, we're doing well. So let me get this straight. You fire up a spliff in the NFL. You're kicked out for 4 games. You beat the hell out of your fiance, and it's 2. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problematic ruling for many reasons, which I'm sure you guys can talk about for a long, long time. But the simple fact is the NFL gives lip service to the idea that they take domestic violence seriously, and they don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be blunt. They don't take it seriously.
We are talking about Ray Rice, the Ray Rice incident, mm-hmm. by the
Correct.
Way.
Correct, yeah, and the Ray Rice incident, you know, I want to be fair. Legally, I'm not sure how far. I guess Roger Goodell, really, because it's a private league, can sort of do what he wants. And mm-hmm. maybe, you know, there is precedent that you don't want to suspend somebody for more than X amount of games versus another suspension. But, you know, it's we're already sort of seeing the playbook here. Ray Rice has no priors. He's been a stand-up citizen. The NFL or someone else is leaking information that we haven't seen other parts of the videotape where his fiance, or is it now his wife maybe, you know, is throwing punches at Ray. But it's the same playbook we hear all the time when it comes to this stuff. There seems to always be excuse making when it comes to how sports deals with domestic violence. And, you know, just to be very blunt, what you really just hope, seriously, is you hope that we don't hear 5 years from now Ray Rice did something really far worse than what he did with this woman. And it's, you know, irrevocable. And I'm not, you know, God forbid, I hope that doesn't happen. But it's very hard to take the NFL seriously when they talk about domestic violence and talking about sort of breast cancer awareness month. I mean, there's just hypocrisy all over the place. So in the States, it's been a very big topic. Generally speaking, on social media, as you can imagine, the NFL's getting crushed when it comes to the coverage of this in the league. The NFL Network is giving it barely any lip service.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, ESPN's, you know, they're loud people will sort of make a little bit of a stand. But in general, this will pass very quickly through all the NFL's partners, and you know, in the next 2 days, I'm sure we will be talking about training camp more than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Tom Brady's new haircut will have to be the
exactly, right, the
topic of conversation.
Go Richard, will anything ever change this? Because, you know, you mentioned people are just doing lip service. And is it going to have to be the players and the coaches? Because there's a quote from John Harbaugh, and he just says, "I stand behind Ray. He's a heck of a guy." Are players, other players and coaches eventually going to have to say, "Man, this isn't right. This sucks." You know, as a players union, yeah, we want our players to play and get paid, but ultimately, you can't do this.
I don't think so. I don't want to be a cynic, but no, I don't think things are going to change. I'm just going to try to deal straight with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only way things can change, honestly, is if the public reacts, and not even the public. The public reacts, so it prompts sponsors,
yep,
people who invest money in the league. They put pressure on the league, and then the league reacts. Mm-hmm. That, generally speaking, in life, when it comes to this stuff, that's when things get game-changed, is when very wealthy entities start putting pressure on wealthy entities, and the one entity decides that it is not worth the hassle to deal with this. And as much as we have praised the NBA, I feel like the Donald Sterling case is sort of the same. It's, at a certain point, Donald Sterling became harmful to the NBA's business.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when the NBA, Adam Silver, et cetera, made a decision to really go all in.
Well, yeah, I mean, Richard, that's a perfect point to make. There isn't anybody in the NBA who didn't know what Sterling was about. I mean, think of the initial reaction when it came out. Oh, yeah, we knew he was, you know, we knew about this. We just didn't think he'd be dumb enough to do this. I mean, everybody knew about it around the NBA. It was hardly a secret.
Totally. I mean, it was like the sort of the poor stepchild of the league. And I'll tell you something that really did matter during the early days of Sterling's stuff. Obviously, not to mention that the audio tape is very powerful. It's, you can't counter it. But LeBron James stepped up, and LeBron James has a tremendous amount of power in that league.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of that, players are not going to stand for this. I would not play for Sterling. I would tell people in the league not to play for him. And that's like a game-changing comment when the top guy in the league sort of calls out the entire league and says something has to be done. So if you want to sort of extrapolate that, in theory, I guess that if a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or you know, somebody with a lot, Drew Brees, somebody with a lot of standing in the league went really public today and said this is outrageous, you know, this punishment is absolutely ridiculous. It could have an impact down the road, but I don't see players ever going after players. There's sort of like there's the, you know, the NFL talks about the shield, but I think NFL players even have a code. And even if privately you really have a problem with Rice and others, it takes some guts to go publicly. What I haven't seen today, maybe you guys have seen, I have not seen a lot of players publicly condemn the punishment. I bet you there's a couple, but I think those guys who do that, those guys, I tip my hat to them because that is not the easiest place to be because there's not going to be a ton of guys who go publicly against Rice's suspension, and I guarantee there will be no one on the Ravens roster who says that it was unjust or anything like that.
No, I mean, John Harbaugh, well.
Harbaugh, I mean, that was...
And he's a coach. I mean, yeah, you stand behind Ray. He's a heck of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess he's got to do that publicly, but somebody probably, a better PR person should have sort of looked at John Harbaugh's statement and reworked that, because this is not a lesson for children. Children aren't learning any lesson here. If there's any lesson to be learned, it might be that if you're wealthy, famous, or can contribute to an NFL team, generally speaking, you can get away with a lot, including domestic violence.
Yeah, and I mean, John Harbaugh saying he makes a mistake, all right, he's going to have to pay a consequence. Well, this isn't a mistake. You know what? He hit her too hard, or he dragged her too far. What's the mistake?
It's always that. You know, like the other thing that's always passive. It's not even passive aggressive. It's passive is when people talk about these things as the situation. It's always like third, or it's like removed. The situation that exists. No, it's not a situation. It's you know, in this case, it's Ray, like you said, it's Ray Rice putting his hand on another person. Situation created by your own violence. So, you know, the PR and lawyers and sort of league officials sort of play around sometimes with nomenclature and words. But, yeah, I thought Harbaugh looked like a fool coming publicly, but I would guarantee in-house and it, you know, and at the Ravens' place, his players will believe that he has their back, and probably ultimately for his job's sake, that's what he needs to have.
Richard, can we get into this whole WEEI thing with Aaron Andrews? And I know a host there when he got after Aaron Andrews.
Kirk Minahane.
Yeah, his apology was, you know, not really an apology, but are we going to see more of this? And is this, it may not be in good taste, but is it good for business as far as this host at WEEI is concerned?
That's a good question. You know, it usually is good, honestly, for short-term business, and WEEI has been getting killed in the ratings against the other sports talk station in town. I'm not saying that Kirk Minahane blasted Aaron Andrews intentionally to create a controversy. I actually think he believed his criticism. And quite frankly, criticism of Aaron Andrews is fine. Aaron Andrews is not, in my opinion, a good reporter. I think she's a television personality who occasionally practices journalism, and that kind of criticism is totally cool. And the All-Star Game interview that she did was pretty lousy. It was enabling, in my opinion, of Major League Baseball and of the pitcher who, you know, served up some cupcakes to Jeter. But this guy just went to the worst, lowest common denominator, kind of tough guy sports talk radio that we see, dropping the B word around. And then yesterday in his sort of comeback apology saying, you know, if she weighed 15 pounds more. First of all, you're blasting. For some reason, the dude is blasting like waitresses.
At Perkins.
In addition to Aaron Andrews. So in my opinion, that's a guy who, this is just my take, I don't work in Boston, who believes he can say anything he wants on the air. He's got a contract, kind of untouchable. The radio station management sort of does a little wink and looks the other way. They kind of take the temperature of the town to see how this is playing out. So I think, to your point, yeah, I think they are trying to see how long they can get some heat on this until they really get in trouble. And again, this goes back to the money issue. The only way they get in trouble is if sponsors start calling the station and say, this is not reflective of the brand that we want to advertise, or if they have a simulcast that show, and if the television station's like, we don't want any part of this, man. This is a circus and a clown show. And then the final thing is, I don't mean to ramble, but you know, sometimes this stuff does work. You know, you're playing to an 18 to 34 crowd. The numbers are not there. And sometimes playing to the lowest common denominator is going to get you certain listeners that you may not get. I ultimately think it's fool's gold. You're playing a short-term game for long-term failure. And then on top of that, beyond everything, is that what you want to be known as in sports talk? You want to be known as a guy who, you know, is like a bad wrestling heel? And to me, that's what this guy is known for right now.
You know what? With more media outlets popping up and more avenues for people to get their info, there used to be that kind of unwritten rule, broadcasters don't slam other broadcasters. Is that out the window now for the future?
Yes. Yeah. Long out the window.
Yeah, in some cases,
it's justified. Yep. I mean, I think, you know, if I was hosting a radio show in Toronto and the situation warranted it, I'd be blasting Skip Bayless left and right because I believe it. It's not a shtick. It's not it's not me trying to get ratings. It's I believe that guy is awful for the craft and is a manufactured debater. But yeah, to your point, there used to be this idea, you know, a bit of omerta in sports broadcasting.
And with that omerta, we'll let it go. Richard, thanks for joining us. John Amici will join us at the top of the hour. And Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
This hour of Primetime Sports is brought to you by Legend Boats.
Nurse your hangover in the healing arms of Ben Ennis. Sportsnet Magazine Live. Join host Ben Ennis Saturdays 10 to noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Right now at Park and Fly, pay for just 7 days and stay up to 28 days. It's for those who like...